right. Hey, good evening, folks. Good to see you here tonight. The rain is done. Yay. That's good. Unless you're a farmer, now you're waiting for the fields to dry out before the next one comes. Tonight it is. Right. Yeah. Oh, my. So I guess that is a prayer request, isn't it? Especially getting this late in the year. As I think Lester told me Sunday, he says, I don't know how anyone can be a farmer and not know the Lord and just trusting in him. It's got to be driving the other ones crazy right now, not being able to get into their fields. Well, let's go ahead and let me just mention a couple of announcements first. On Saturday of this week, we have our men's connection at 8:30. And outreach is at 10:30. We always need help making some visits. And then Girls Connect from 11 till 1 on Saturday. Now, if you're planning on going to the Joy Trip to Arthur next Monday, we need you to sign up tonight. Would be preferable because then we're going to have to shut it off and make arrangements for the transportation to get everyone there. So please sign up for that tonight. And if you have a graduate graduating from high school or college, please let the office know by, what's the date there? By May 12th, so we can make appropriate arrangements for those that are going to be here on graduation Sunday. We want to honor them for their accomplishments. So if you would, take your songbooks with me if you need it. Page number 413, let's stand as we sing Take Time to Be Holy. Standing for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we do thank you that you allow us time every day to come before you and just worship you, to be immersed in your presence, to be affected by your presence, to be made holy by that time we spend with you. We thank you for that time that you give us each day. God, I pray you would help us to choose to take that time each day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's go ahead and start with some praises. Something to be excited about. Who would be first? Yes, sir. Oh, wow. Okay. Maybe between now and Saturday, you can find someone here moving to Missouri. Just a thought. Oh, that's true, too. Yeah. Yeah. All right. We'll be in prayer for you about that. Absolutely. Someone else. Yes, Mary. Wow. I thank God for that. But just continue Absolutely. Sure. Okay, will do. Thank you, Mary. Anyone else? Yes. That was a good day. And I'm a guy. How would I know? I was here. It was a good day. And I was glad to be a part of it, even if it was in the shadows. But I do appreciate the ladies that put those things together, the banquet committee, the funeral banquet committee, who just like that can whip up amazing miracles. And I'm sure everything went well while I was gone last week. And I certainly do appreciate their efforts. Someone else? Yes, sir. Yes. It's a fixer-upper, and Monty's the fixer. So we'll be praying for you. Praise the Lord, too. They found a place, so that's exciting. Now we do need to pray, though, that it will be inhabited sooner rather than later. That's still up to the Lord, so... Yeah, I'm working on trying to convince Taylor otherwise, but all right. Someone else?
Well, once again, our praise the Lord for doing this mercy.
Yes, it is good and it is merciful, isn't it? Absolutely. Yep. Yes, Kimberly. Oh, my. Okay. Okay. All right. Yes. Right. This is one of your coworkers? Her husband. Okay. All right. So for those that didn't have that, a coworker of Kim's, her husband took his own life yesterday, and no one saw it coming. So this has been a shock for them. Please pray for that family. And also, just Kim was just offering praise to God for fellowship from other Christians and the timing that God works things out in. So praise the Lord. Yeah. Someone else. Yes. Okay. Roseanne. All right. We'll continue to pray for her. That's Armin's sister, who's having a procedure on Thursday or coming up.
Friday.
Okay. Okay. She's having a procedure. We'll just leave it at that. Okay. All right. Someone else. Okay, well, let's go ahead and set those to the side. Let's go ahead and jump into our study for tonight. Now, I'm a little apprehensive tonight because my wife can attest to this. I was getting really excited this week, getting this ready for tonight. And it always makes me apprehensive because whenever I think, oh, boy, this is going to be good. It's not. So, or it's not as good as I think it was going to be. Be merciful, okay? If it's not any good, just say that. Oh, that was wonderful. No, I'm just kidding. Don't do that. I was just so excited about what God was helping me pull out of His Word this week and getting this ready. Just the last couple of days, even. And this is a familiar passage for most of us that have been in church a while, okay? And it's always exciting when you're looking at what we might say an old passage, okay, and God just shows you something amazing that you've missed all these years. Not new truth, okay, but to see how all the pieces of truth in this passage suddenly fit together. Context, it is so important, folks. Never just read one verse, okay? If you're going to study the Bible, study verses, but keep them all in context so you can see how they fit together. It is amazing some of the things that we miss sometimes when we take things and look at it out of context. Not take it out of context, but we just look at it out of context. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to talk about the Christian's weapons. And if you'll notice, I don't have an outline in front of me here, but I think there's 4 points, okay? And if you recall, in our previous times together, we were looking at the spiritual armor, the armor of a Christian. And what does it always end with? The sword of the Spirit, right? And I think I may have commented before, growing up, at least for me, I think for many people, we were told, this is the only offensive weapon, the Word of God, and yet it's not. There's 4, and we're going to look at those in our passage here tonight. It's amazing how they all fit together. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication in the and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, there are 4 weapons that we're going to look at in that passage there. If you're a crossword puzzle kind of person, okay, you're probably going to be digging through that thinking, okay, where's the 4? And why have I not seen these before? If you haven't seen them before, it's not because they're not there. We usually stop after the sword of the Spirit, don't we? And yet, the chapter's not even done yet. So, we're going to look at all of this in context. The first weapon, of course, is the blade. This was the only offensive weapon that's listed in the armor of the preceding verses, okay? Now, we're told that the sword is the Word of God. That shows us the importance of the Word. And I realize we looked at this just 2 weeks ago. That shows us the importance of the Word in our combat with the evil that's in this world. The evil that Paul talked about in preceding verses of this chapter. Christ defeated Satan with what? The Word. While he was tempted there in the wilderness. In other words, every temptation that Satan threw at Christ, Christ knew a verse that would combat it. Now, I know I've said this before. Is there a pet sin in your life? Give me 3 verses that pertain to that sin. If you can't, that's probably why it's still a pet sin and you can't seem to get rid of it. That may be one of the reasons why. But Christ knew a verse that would combat each temptation that Satan threw at him. Folks, we need to know our Bibles. It's not enough to have been in a church all of our life and have heard all of the children's stories 12 times. We need to know our Bibles. We need to know how the verses and the truths in the Bible work together, how they all fit together. We need to know what it says about
all things, as it says in 1 Peter, all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Our vertical relationship with God, godliness, but also life. All of our horizontal relationships that we have in this world. The trend today, though, is to stay away from the Word of God. I had someone sharing with me just a few weeks ago. They were visiting a church that one of their children go to. And they were so disappointed because they never once opened the Bible the whole time they were in church that morning. And they even had communion, and they still never even opened their Bibles. That seems to be the trend today. Instead, what do? We tend to rely on cliches, quips, slogans that we read on someone's social media page, or we rely on just the general consensus of others as to what's the right thing to do, instead of asking the God of heaven, what is the right thing to do? The second weapon. Now, I have mentioned this in passing, and that's the weapon of prayer. In verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Did you know that Satan fears our prayers? Well, yeah, I think most of us would say yes. That's kind of a catechism kind of answer. Yes, Satan fears our prayers. But now, keep in mind the spiritual context, the context of this passage. Spiritual warfare. Here's a weapon of prayer. In battling spiritual warfare. We've just looked at the armor that we've put on. Now Paul turns to talking about a sword, a weapon, and in the same conversation, he talks about prayer. Now, we can understand the sword because that's generally accepted to be something that's a weapon, a sword. And then he mentions prayer. Why is that a weapon? Now, did you know that Satan fears our prayers? Most of us said yes. Why? Why is it prayer is a weapon that Satan fears when Christians pray? Because, why do you think? Anyone, just go ahead, give me some answers. Because we're speaking to God, okay. Anyone else? Yes, and if our life is lined up with God, very theologically correct, He will answer our prayers. God hears our prayers. God answers our prayers. And we could maybe go on with some other reasons why prayer is a weapon. But is there not some force, some cohesive force that runs deeper beneath the obvious answers that we just gave? Something that gels everything together that really makes Satan tremble. Because lots of people pray, don't they? On a Sunday morning, you could go to almost any church here in this community and find people praying. Do all of those prayers make Satan fearful? You can find someone on death row praying. Does that make Satan fearful? Maybe, maybe not. What is it about prayer that makes it a weapon that Satan's afraid of? The answer, I believe, is to be found in Matthew chapter 7. The verses will be up on the screen here. If you want to write that passage down there, I think I have the reference. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Here's that verse. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Familiar passage, right? Let's see what verse 8 says. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, hold on right there. That's the idea that Kimberly had mentioned. God hears our prayers and he'll answer our prayers. But now let's go to verse 9. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Okay, let's stop right there. It's just a rhetorical question that Christ is throwing out here. What father, if his son asked him for some food, what father would give him a rock to eat? It's a rhetorical question. Obviously, no father would do that, generally speaking. Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Now, let's start putting this together. This is why Satan is fearful of prayer. The relationship between a father and his child, as Christ described it here. A child asking a good thing of his father. What father wouldn't move heaven and earth to provide it for his child? It's a good thing. The fact that a child of God is appealing to the Almighty Father is what causes Satan to fear, because of that relationship. We are appealing to our Almighty Heavenly Father. Satan knows the same question that Jesus was asking in Matthew 7. What father wouldn't answer that prayer? That's why it's a fearful weapon to Satan. Satan doesn't fear fancy words. All of the thees and thous when we pray. He doesn't fear that. He doesn't fear repeated words that we sometimes use in our prayers without even thinking about it. You know, vain repetitions. He doesn't fear our understanding of how prayer works or how many prayer books that we've read. He fears the simple fact that a needy child of God is at the mighty throne of God. And he does everything he can to keep us from going there. Because what father wouldn't give to his child when he's asking a good thing? Right? Okay. Have you found the third weapon yet? Hopefully not. You should have been paying attention instead of looking ahead. Okay. Here's the third weapon. Or no, I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead here. When we pray, okay, I want you to think of praying as kind of like going through three different realms, okay? The first realm is the hidden place. That's the very first area we might go to when we pray. It's actually, it could be a physical place. It may not be a specific physical place. But this is where we are alone with God. Could be a bedroom. Could be a barn. Could be a church, a car, even a closet, a basement. The place doesn't matter, okay? The place doesn't matter as long as we can withdraw from all of the busyness of our world and connect and commune with God. Christ recommended a closet. Now, before we start getting literal here, okay, and go home and throw all of the stuff out of a closet into the garage, which is probably already too full, right? Keep in mind, historical, cultural context, their homes didn't have closets like we do because they didn't have 50 changes of clothes like we do hanging in our closets. Okay, so what was Christ talking about when he said we need to withdraw to a closet? Here's what it means. A quiet place. Just a quiet place. Once we withdraw to that quiet place and we're separated from all of the distractions of the busyness around us, I would recommend this. I don't have it with me. I would recommend to not take any electronic device. Don't take your phone, okay? And that's going to be difficult for me to take my own advice because my prayer list is an app that I have on my tablet. But whatever it takes, if it's a distraction, leave it somewhere else. Whatever distracts you, get away from it and get to a quiet place. Now, once we've done that, then we start to enter the next realm, the heavenly place. Here's why I call it that. This is the realm that we have just spent time in the last week or two considering. The heavenlies. This is where the spiritual battle takes place. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, rulers of darkness in the heavenlies. The spiritual warfare that we take, that takes place. And that's where, when we get set aside into a quiet place, that's where spiritual battle really begins to take place. Remember, Satan fears a child of God praying. This is where it begins. This is where it even begins to intensify spiritual battle. This is where Satan's hosts swarm to hinder us from reaching God. Consider this example. They harass us. They distract us while we're praying. Does that ever happen to you? Get distracted? Discourage us? Like, oh, well, what's the use? Folks, this is where prayer is hard work. And if you've ever actually tried to have a consistent prayer life, you know it's hard work. Why? It's a battle. Satan makes it hard because he doesn't want a child connecting with his father. He knows that father's going to answer those prayers. Here's an example. I'm praying for, let's just say Aunt Susie. Okay? And while I'm praying for Aunt Susie, this reminds me of her cat. Cute little cat that she has. Thoughts of the cat remind me that my wife thought she saw a mouse yesterday in the closet. That reminds me I need to stop at Walmart and buy some mouse traps. Walmart reminds me that I need to pick up some more copy paper for the office. Several minutes later, I realize I haven't been praying. I've been daydreaming. The enemy has been busy, hasn't he? It's a spiritual battle. Here's another example. We battle worldly thoughts as well while we're praying. Now, I enter this cautiously, okay? Our prayers focus on material things. Now, when I say we battle worldly thoughts, I'm not necessarily talking about bad thoughts, okay? But our prayers focus on material things. The need to pass next week's exam if you're a student, the need for a raise in pay, the need for healing for this person or that person, all earthly, worldly things. Not bad, but they are earthly, they are worldly centered. It's not wrong to pray for these things. Please hear me say that. It's not wrong to pray for these things. But should we not be preoccupied, or should we be preoccupied with them? Because we're doing spiritual battle. The battle's not on this earth. Consider this. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Christ said this, "Give us this day our daily bread." Do you remember that? What is that a part of? The Lord's Prayer, okay? It's the only line from the Lord's Prayer that is focused, preoccupied with things of this world. All the rest of the Lord's Prayer focuses, preoccupied with things that are not of this world, in the spiritual realm, folks. When other distractions fail, Satan tries to get us, or tries to hinder our prayers by getting us to be preoccupied with going through our wish list of things that we want from God. Instead of praying about what Paul just told us about, praying about the spiritual battle taking place all around us. Our needs are not a new job. Our needs are not to get rid of our cold or our illness. That's all temporary. One day God will heal you, by the way. And one day you won't need a job because you'll be inheriting all of the wealth of heaven. Our battle lies in the spiritual realm. So what can we do to win that battle when it comes to our prayer life? Try praying aloud. Just a suggestion. Try praying aloud. Keeps your mind focused and engaged. So while you're running through your prayer list, you're not starting to think about, oh, yeah, I got to stop at Walmart. Or you're praying for someone on your prayer list. Think, oh, yeah, I was supposed to get back with them. Oh, I better make a note. How about this? Try using more of God's word while you're praying. You think, wait a minute. Here it is. Prayer list. I don't see any verses on here. How am I going to do that? Here's how you do it. Put that down. Open your Bible. And try praying a psalm. Just reciting a psalm. You are talking to God about His greatness. Try using more of God's word in your prayer. I think I've challenged you before with this. Try this sometime. Try praying and not asking for a single thing. That's going to feel unnatural. All you do, you're talking to God and you're just thanking Him. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for this. What a blessing this was. You've been so good to my family. We're blessed in this way. We are blessed in that way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Whoa, I didn't even ask anything. Try that. Or, as I said, try using more of God's word in prayer. Oh, by the way, there it is. Using God's word, the sword of the Spirit, to fight off Satan while we're trying to pray even. It's using this weapon we've already looked at and using it while we pray, not just when we're tempted to sin, but while we're praying. He doesn't care, folks. He doesn't care if we say words that begin with, Dear Lord, and Amen. He just doesn't want us connecting with God. And so He'll do what He can to keep that from happening. And I think sometimes we can start with Dear Lord and say Amen, and we've not connected with God. I think that's possible. Here's the third realm, the holy place. Now, once we've gotten the quiet place and then we reach that heavenly place, we're doing that spiritual battle, we break through into what we'll call the holy place. Do you recall the words to this hymn? There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Do you remember the next line? A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. That's where we need to strive to get to when we are praying and talking with God, rather than checking off the prayer list, so to speak. Nothing wrong with asking for our earthly needs, for us or others. But are we more preoccupied with that than doing battle in the spiritual realm? But there is yet what we could call a third weapon, okay? Look with me again at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's the word watching. That's a weapon. That's going to be our third weapon. Still in the context, okay? It's even in the same sentence as prayer, by the way. So it's in that same context, watching. It means this, lying sleepless. Lying sleepless, okay? Christ said this in Mark chapter 13 and verse 33. He said, Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. He's talking to His disciples. He's saying, Be on guard, watch, lying sleepless. In other words, what's the opposite of lying sleepless? Yeah, thank you. Snoring, right? You are out, oblivious to whatever's going on around you, like his disciples were there in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Christ was teaching on the end times, he said this in Luke chapter 21 and verse 36. He said, "Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." There's that word watch, lying sleepless. Again, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, we see the same word. It says, "Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch, lie sleepless, for your souls, as they that must give an account." Now, it's not literally, I don't literally lay awake all the time. But the job of a pastor, which is being referred to here, is they need to be alert for your souls, on guard. Why is that? Why would a pastor need to be on guard? Would you not agree with me that many times in our Christian life, we fall asleep at the wheel? Here's the idea. We take a child outside to play, okay? You take your child when they were smaller, okay? You take them outside to play. You're in the backyard. And what do? You sit down, they're playing in the sandbox or on a swing or whatever, and you read a book, you know? Check Facebook, maybe. Versus, we take our child outside to play in a small park in the middle of Detroit. We're not reading a book. We're not checking Facebook. We're not napping. We are watching. Okay? That's the idea. Folks, we are to lie sleepless, watching and praying. Watching allows us to see the enemy approaching. Praying fights the enemy. We can't fight the enemy if we don't see him approaching. We take this, I'm afraid we take this spiritual battle thing sometimes too lightly. We're not watching. We're not sleepless. We're not alert. And many times, and we know this to be true, many times when someone is alert and is serious, we think, "Oh, man, what are they making a big deal about? Whoa, they must see something we don't, and maybe they see it because we're not lying sleepless. We're not watching." Paul told us to persevere in watching. Sometimes we just give up too soon. But Satan never gives up. He is tireless, he is persistent, and he is resourceful as well. And now, for a fourth weapon, witnessing. That's a weapon? It's in context. Let's look at verse 19. "And for me," he says, he told them, he said, "take the sword of the Spirit, pray, watch. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Paul realized something. He realized that his situation in Rome was a golden opportunity. He's a prisoner. He would have access to the royal Imperial Guard in Rome. He could win them to Christ. Maybe even have an opportunity to witness to Nero himself. And so he asked his brothers and sisters of his Christ family to share in this by means of prayer. There's some spiritual praying going on there, folks. We're not praying that, he didn't ask us to pray that he would get out of jail. He's asking us to get above the worldly things and pray in the spiritual battle that's taking place. Praying for strength for him. Praying for Satan's hold to be bound. Praying for him to be, praying for Satan to be powerless to hinder the witness. Praying that his hold would be broken. That God would break Satan's hold on the minds, the hearts, the wills, the consciences of those that Paul was trying to reach. That's some spiritual praying there, folks. I think that's a lot different sometimes than the prayers that I utter as far as what it's occupied on, what it's focused on. This is how we should be praying for our missionaries. I know they need visas, they need paperwork, they need a building, they need a new car, someone's sick. But we need to be praying this for them. This is how we should pray for each other. This is how we should pray for ourselves. Let me just point something out here in closing. There are four things, maybe there's more, but there's four things that I've identified that seem to be extremely difficult for Christians to do consistently and faithfully. One of them is Bible reading. Most Christians don't read their Bible. Another one to do consistently and faithfully is prayer. A third one is staying alert. And a fourth one is witnessing. True? No wonder. They are our four weapons. Satan gets us away from them. And there we stand with all of our pretty armor on, but no weapons. And we are powerless and no threat to him. I think he really doesn't care how much armor we have on. If he can get our weapons out of our hands, we're no threat to him. Be intentional about these weapons, folks. Just as we may be intentional about make sure we got all the armor that we've talked about. Be super intentional about these weapons. Because this is where you take two armies on a battlefield. One of them can have all the armament in the world. But if they don't have any weapons, they're not going to advance and take any ground. The kingdom of God is not going to advance if we have no weapons to advance with. Be intentional. Father in heaven, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to look at these weapons. Perhaps the lack of these weapons in our lives. And Lord, I pray your spirit would just move in our hearts that we would be intentional about this. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, we're going to break up into some smaller groups right now. Just